This is a party-like opening for Andrew Webster. G'day, Webby.
G'day, boys. I'll tell you where the party's going to be today. The caller just before the 7 o'clock news, what was his name? Rowan. So he's had his first beer, by my calculations, at 6.44 this morning.
Which is probably about 8 p.m. for him.
Well, he's going to the Wyong Cup today. Yep. I've just had a look on my tab app. So 4.30 this afternoon, the Wyong Cup will be raced. So I'd like to... I keep away from Rowan.
Yeah, so that'll be midnight. So it'll be the equivalent of still drinking at 4 a.m. for him.
Yeah, and this comes in on text message. Crowdy says, tip for that bloke going to the Wyong. He's tipping one in the first, race one, Storm Shadow. But MG from Penrith goes, TK, that guy having a beer at 6.30 a.m. Hate to stand next to him at Wyong Cup Day. Anyway, it's a good day had by all.
Hey, listen, yeah, not too bad. Last night, the Broncos, they both played in front of 44,000, which was unbelievable. The Storm got home. What did you make of it?
Oh, the Broncos were pretty brave, considering they didn't have Ben Hunt, and then Ashley Taylor, that compound fracture of his finger. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine your bone coming out of your finger? It's funny, when I heard that, they were talking on the commentary about, you know, whether he should play on or not. Sam Burgess told me a story of how he came back a couple of years ago after being out with a knee injury for about 6 weeks, and he came back and got a compound in one of his fingers in the first tackle. And he went off. He said, "I'm not going off." And he went off the field and just got it taped up and played the rest of the game with a taped up compound fracture in one of his fingers. Mm. So that's how tough Sam Burgess is. I thought they were very, very brave, despite not having having a regular halfback in their team. Yep. There was a bit of drama after the game. I don't know if you guys have picked up on this. Craig Bellamy was absolutely filthy about these 5 day turnarounds in the NRL,
well, he blew up last team. He blew up last week about it as well.
Yeah, sure. He's blown up about it a lot. Now, Shane Richardson, who's doing this massive look into the game, I think you'll find the main thing that every single coach, maybe apart from Wayne Bennett, has said to Shane Richardson is that the 5 day turnaround is the biggest issue for the draw and for the game in many respects for the players. So I think you'll find that won't happen in the next. In the next TV rights deal. Okay. But then Wayne Bennett's come out and said, hypocrites, players are hypocrites, you want all this money, you play 2 days after Origin, and then you whinge about 5 day turnaround. So a little bit of needling there between the coach and the former assistant coach, which is always good drama.
You know what? I think there's some NRL coaches, Webby, in broad sweeping statement, they don't manage their roster enough. You know, we see in other high-profile competitions where people manage, you know, you think my bloke's a bit flat, I might rest him this week or whatever. We don't seem to do it. And Craig Bellamy here blaming the draw. I mean, he very, very rarely doesn't play his Origin players after Origin.
I think you'll find that if you look at... there's been a lot of research being done behind the scenes about just exactly how many games a player, particularly in those top 40 players in the game, Origin and international players... should play per season. Trent Robinson, I reckon, has shown this season by resting players at various stages that coaching, and if you're going to win the competition, is all about, you know, timing your run.
Managing
your roster, exactly. And I think that's, you know, it sort of that segues beautifully into what I was going to say about tonight's game between the Roosters and South Sydney. Now, you know, all the talk this week has been about Michael Maguire and South Sydney and whether he's going to the Newcastle Knights or not. You know, the issues that are coming out of Redfern is that those players just seem worn down. They just seem tired because the way that Michael Maguire coaches is that he just absolutely drives them. And it worked really well last year. They won a premiership, but they are looking decidedly tired, you know, down the back end of the season, particularly heading into this game. I know that story was, you know, at the start of the week was bubbling along about him going to Newcastle. Now, boys, take it to the bank. Michael Maguire's manager was talking to the Newcastle Knights about him going. It was always going to be a long shot. There was no way that the financially struggling Knights could cover his $850 a year and also a very, very big football department expenditure. But he was definitely talking to the Knights. Now I thought it would have been a good move for the Knights and also mainly for Michael Maguire if he went there. Not going to happen. He's going to stay at South Sydney. But I'm very interested to see how South Sydney respond after that loss to the Broncos last week because they look like a team that's shot.
Webby, I don't know if you've got a strong view on what's happening at the Tigers at the moment, but I'll ask the question. What do you think?
Oh, Jason Tate, look, it's sort of been bubbling along, and I know Robbie Farah is having his say all over the place, as he's entitled to do. He's wagering a very good PR battle.
Very much so.
Robbie, and good luck to him, because that's the way it's all being played out on the in the public arena as an emotional issue.
Yes.
I spoke to a director of that club. We are rock solid behind Jason Taylor. So they're rock solid behind the coach. Now,
mean they've got the support of the board?
That's what I've written today, when you get the full support of the board.
What have they got?
Look out.
He's gone.
Look out. Yep. That said, I think it'd be very the things that the board and the management structure of the West Tigers changed so much, you wouldn't know who's going to be the board.
Correct.
There's all this talk about takeovers in terms of ownership. Look, Jason Taylor has just I'll say it again. He's made a really brave decision, and maybe one that really had to be made. But the way they've gone about it, just he hasn't. You've got to box clever, and he hasn't boxed clever. Now I
should
find
have
it
been
very
made
hard to
before.
Believe. It should have been
June
done
30, well, way
is,
before.
But this is the issue, Terry.
Yeah.
So if you listen to the West Tigers told Sam Ayoub, who's on screen now, told Robbie Farah's manager 6 weeks ago about this happening. It's only so it hasn't been ambushed. It hasn't just happened in the last couple of weeks. But this whole line from JT to Robbie Farah, you're going to be playing in reserve grade, just probably not the smartest way to go about things.
No, and Robbie stated that. He said, no, I could find myself. Then he changed it to say, I've been told I will be playing reserve grade. Well, in my mind, whether you want him at your club or not, if he's there, he's playing first grade in my team.
Let's get this right. It's not about salary cap. The salary cap keeps being used as an excuse. And I know he's on $925 a year, I think it is, next year and the year after that. Jason Taylor's telling anyone that will listen that they're more than happy to pay, most of that contract for him to play somewhere else. So that just sort of explains how poisonous it's become.
Yes.
Well, if that's the case, he's at my club.
If you can afford him.
Well, why can't you? You might only be paying $200,000.
Well, this is the issue too.
What, can't find $200,000?
Well, Terry, these are the rules though, mate. So the NRL won't register a contract for a New South Wales Origin hooker for a minimal amount of money.
That's right.
So as Roy Masters sort of wrote this week, it would probably have to go into a cap at $500,000. Now, who's got $500,000 left in their cap?
There's the problem.
For a hooker. It's very, very messy.
Complicated.
Very messy.
Now, a comment on Hayne. It's
Jared Hayne.
It's Jared Hayne Mania. And midday
Hayne
today.
Mania.
Midday today, isn't it?
San Diego
is the opposition. And in a couple of days' time, we'll find out whether he's in that final squad. He's got to be in there.
Michael, can I just say I've really enjoyed all week you saying Jared Hayne.
Jared Hayne. Well, that's
to the
what
point
we're
where
I keep
saying it every time I talk about.
Well, the
Jared
thing
Hayne.
About Jared is that in a year's time, when asked what his name is, he'll go, "My name is Jared Hayne."
God, I hope if he's in that 53-man roster, which is announced Sunday. Although it depends on whether they get told earlier, and then it might come out over the weekend before that. I hope he doesn't lose his Australian accent. I hope he doesn't lose his Minto accent and he doesn't
The
American accent. I think, it seems like fairly obvious that he's going to be named in the San Francisco 49ers 53-man squad. I heard one of your callers talk about Hayden Knowles earlier in the program. Now, I've spoken to H. I know, as you guys know, Hayden as well. He's a great man, Hayden. He's at the Roosters now as their speed conditioning coach, and I've written a story for the Herald tomorrow asking the question, why is it, we all bash up the great game of rugby league, why is it that rugby league produces these great all-round superstar athletes who get picked up by all these rival codes? And I spoke to Hayden about it, and he said it's got nothing to do with the way that he coaches or any of the influence of all these people along the way. And I spoke to Chris and Inu, who grew up on the streets of Minto alongside Jared Hayne, and they just played. It was free play.
Well, they played everything.
The way that Jared it returns those punts and those kicks is exactly how he used to, run the ball and step and they just basically want it more. They come from a very basic working class background. So many people or so many players in rugby league come from broken homes or disadvantaged upbringings, and they just want it more. Their hunger is a lot more than so many other athletes. So I think it's a really interesting sort of thing that's happening there in San Francisco with Jared Heen.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We love it. Anything else, Webby?
No, that's about it, boys.
Oh, I think we've covered
good
it
on
all
good on Nathan Brown for getting the job at Newcastle.
Yeah, yeah, that's great
good
news.
Stuff.
I thought it was hilarious, though, how it played out. So nothing to see here. We won't make a decision. And then the chairman, Brian McWiggan, just sort of spat it out on Newcastle Radio.
Yeah, just a few of the details of the contract.
Right on, Webby. Have a great week.
Thank you, boys.
Take care.